SMQBs, this is episode 179. Folks, we are back in our sweet spot. It's the NFL. This is our 2024 NFL extravaganza show. Finally, we know a little bit about what we're talking about here. Should be a good show. House, who are you bringing to the bar, though?
I am bringing to the bar for the NFL preview one Saquon Barkley. Saquon,
pull up, killing me.
Just knife me in the heart.
You have a chance to be Moses Malone. You could be the missing piece. You could be celebrated as to what puts us over the top. Please bring us to the promised land, Saquon. Please, you'll never have to pay for a drink again in this town or at this bar.
Oh boy.
Rooster, I think it's only fair that you go next. Here you bring up.
I know. You know, since we're talking about football, I'm going to bring Erling Haaland to the bar. The place for Manchester City.
The guy
won the Golden Boot last year, and his coach, Pep Guardiola, says he's better this year, and he already had a hat trick this week against West Ham. So I'd like to get a piece of that action.
Wow.
Get to know Erling a little better.
Pope, what do you got? Who are you bringing?
Bringing Dak Prescott.
Oh, geez.
Good luck. Homerism.
The homerism is just unreal.
Maybe he could practice.
It's the NFL preview.
He could practice his little move with you the whole time.
I want to know what he's thinking because it's definitely mixed signals from Jerry regarding whether they're going to try to sign him to a contract before the season starts. And if they don't, is he okay just playing for pay, so to speak, because he will get paid one way or the other. It'll be interesting to see what his thoughts are.
What do you want? Do you want him to be paid, Pope, and stay?
No. Okay. Pay him.
No.
Pay him.
That's what I thought. Man. Okay.
Nope. I want him to pay for play. Okay. Play for pay. Sorry.
Pay the man $50 million a year right now. Lock it up, Pope.
He won't
Lock
take it.
You should do it.
He won't take it.
60. Give him 60.
We have a guy. You could pay our guy 40 and we'll trade.
Yeah. All right. I am bringing one Kimi Antonelli to the bar. Now, we're going to have to drink in Italy where 18-year-olds can go to a bar. Kimi is one of the development drivers, one of the hotshot young guns in F1, not in F1 yet. There was a lot of rumor that he was going to be taking Lewis Hamilton's seat at Mercedes next year. No pressure filling that seat. He did get a chance to drive in practice session one at Monza this weekend, and he got in George's car and promptly put it right into the wall and destroyed the fucking car. And of rather inauspicious start. Later in the weekend, they announced that he will, in fact, fill that seat. So I guess Toto felt like, I need to give this kid a confidence boost. We're going to just announce that he's going to be our driver now. But, man, that is not the way you want it that weekend to go. Because, I mean, it was a bad wreck, and it was about 90 seconds into getting behind the wheel.
Have you guys ever gotten in one of these real simulators where you're driving a race car?
But they're opening that place here. They're opening F1 Arcade in about a month here that has 83 of them.
I had a case with a guy who had his own because he races the Ford Mach series.
Mm.
And so I drove his version of a car in this simulator. And he said the F1 is like 100 times harder. I'm telling you, it's hard to even complete a lap. Just driving these cars, they're so hard. I mean, they don't have suspension, they don't have power steering. It is super hard, and you're it's so hard to figure out how to drive these things that you forget to look in your mirrors at the car zooming up both sides of you.
It's 200 miles
really
an hour.
Difficult. Really, I don't know how these guys do it.
Yeah, good. All right, guys, let's jump into it. The NFL season is here. Hope springs eternal for all of our teams except mine. Probably Roosters.
I'm done. I'm already done.
We know the Cowboys will charge into the playoffs and promptly go out in round one. The Eagles are bound to have a quarterback controversy at some point this season. Somebody's going to be fighting with someone because there's just too many egos catching the ball in that team. Rooster, why don't you start us off? Talk to us about some of the rookies we're watching, some of the guys in new places. What's exciting?
I'm going to start out with some of the new faces in new places. And there are three that jump out and others that are really good. And some are just a terrible fit. I don't get it. I hate to say this, but I do still love him. Saquon is in the top tier of new faces in new places. He's going to make a huge impact on the Eagles. This guy was considered a top five running back in the league behind maybe the worst to third worst offensive line in all of football the entire time he was there, with a shitty quarterback and wide receivers that none of us could probably name right now. Behind with that offense, Saquon was considered top five running back. Imagine what he's going to be on a good offensive line with solid wide receivers and a good quarterback. I mean, the sky's the limit for the guy if he can stay healthy. I'm rooting for him. I may even have to root a little for the Eagles because I love Saquon.
What, Sky?
He deserves. Saquon deserves to find success, and I think he will. So that's number one.
Oh, yeah, I love this guy.
Number two, Derrick Henry to the Ravens.
Mm.
My God. You talk about a perfect smash-mouth fit guy with team. I mean, he's going to score a ton of touchdowns this year. He's really a great fit for that team. I think that's going to be a huge success. And then the other one that is just, they can't go anywhere but up from where they were at the quarterback level. The Atlanta Falcons with Kirk Cousins, the $100 million man again.
Yes.
How that guy keeps going to the bank like he did. Jesus. But look, they've got Bijan Robinson, Drake London. They have Kyle Pitts, who, you know, hopefully Cousins turns that guy's career in the direction it should have gone. I mean, lots of blue chippers on offense, and now you have a B-plus quarterback, you know, a legitimate NFL B-plus quarterback.
I was playing in a really
weak division. Yeah, I think that's going to make a massive, massive impact on that team. I love Josh Jacobs. I don't know why people are down on the guy. I love him. He's a workhorse. He's a bull. And Josh Jacobs on the Packers should scare
most. Yeah, I don't love where he is.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs on the Packers should scare the rest of the NFC. If he's anything like he was 2 years ago, look out for the Packers. I always liked Aaron Jones. I don't know why the Packers didn't use him appropriately. I hope they don't do that to Josh Jacobs. But I think Aaron Jones is going to be all right on Minnesota. There are some other guys I think were good pickups. Bears getting Keenan Allen. I mean, they have too much at wide receiver, but you can never have enough. This guy continues to get open all the time. And, you know, with a rookie quarterback, that's solid. You got a vet who's always open to go along with DJ Moore. And this rookie, Rome Odunze, from the moment I laid eyes on that guy at the combine, I was saying he's going to be special, because after every drill, he came back out late and asked the coaches to help him get a little better. I mean, that's just the way this guy is. He's an animal, and I'm telling you, by the end of the year, Rome Odunze is going to be a star, even though it's going to be hard for him to find playing time. There are some questionable moves in my mind. Russell Wilson to the Steelers, paired up with a fake competition with Justin Fields. That was no competition. Russell Wilson never played, never practiced. He was hurt, and they gave him the starting position. Justin Fields is the answer there. Everybody who paid, and all the analysts who paid attention to the Steelers offseason and practice, they can't believe it's not Justin Fields' job. And Justin Fields isn't the greatest quarterback in the world, but he's got tons of talent. Someone just needs to teach him how to read defenses. But Russ is done. He's toast. He's cooked. Everybody who watches him play says so. The Steelers have just bitten off a giant chunk of money for a big fat goose egg there, I believe. And House and I have talked about this privately. Another team with an overabundance of wide receivers is the Texans. And you throw Stephon Diggs on that team, and what you're getting is a headache, in my opinion. You've got Tank Dell. You've got Nico Collins. They're both young, excellent wide receivers. Now you've got this guy who's going to bitch and moan every time he doesn't get enough throws his way. He's already gotten into it on the sideline with C.J. Stroud in a freaking preseason game. This guy's going to ruin the chemistry on that team if they let him. And I just don't know why they went out and got him. I really don't. I'm hoping that for your sake, Bison, Austin Ekeler gives you a really good two-prong running game with Robinson. Ekeler had his years where he was a stud. You know, maybe he gets back to it.
I'm truly surprised how little has been talked about with Austin Ekeler. I mean, he was at the top of the league. There's almost been no talk whatsoever about Ekeler moving there. I don't get it.
I don't either. I think
we're just trying to keep all this very quiet here.
He was
very
misused a little by their horrible coach that they just got rid of. He's not a workhorse. He's not Derrick Henry, but man, the guy can score touchdowns and break off some good runs. So yeah, I think that's going to be good for you. I think the Jets may actually have improved themselves with Mike Williams and your former lineman. Who was it? Moses.
Oh yeah,
they got him from the Ravens. What's his name? Bizalfi. Yeah. I mean, the Jets Swiss cheese offense. Yeah, their Swiss cheese offensive line needed help. If he's healthy, that's a big help to the
was it Morgan Moses? Is that his name?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still don't think Aaron Rodgers makes it past game three.
Talking about all these guys moving around and stuff, you know, it's kind of interesting to me. I'm just looking at a list of quarterbacks. And aside from some of the rookies, you really have, like, the quarterback position is pretty stable in the NFL right now, right? Like, listen to these. These are the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Lamar in Baltimore, Josh Allen in Buffalo, Burrow in Cincinnati, Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. He's returning there. Now you got a rookie in Denver, Bo Nix, C.J. Stroud in Houston, Anthony Richardson in Indy. Yeah. Sort of a rookie after a season, but still going into a second season there. Trevor Lawrence, Mahomes, Gardner Minshew, I guess is new in Vegas, but you know, Justin Herbert, Tua, the Patriots have Jacoby Brissett, but that's really a placeholder until their rookie Drake May.
He shouldn't be starting game one based on the preseason.
Yeah, I think that offensive line is pretty bad though. I think they're doing him a favor keeping him out of there. And then you got Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. That's obviously a change. Will Levis in Tennessee. So, I mean, that's the AFC. And then Cousins in Atlanta is new. But then you go Kyler in Arizona, Bryce Young in Carolina, Caleb, rookie in Chicago, Dak in Dallas, Jared Goff in Detroit, Jordan Love in Green Bay, Stafford in LA, Sam Darnold in Minnesota. Again, would have been a rookie had McCarthy not gotten hurt. Derek Carr in New Orleans again, Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, Geno Smith, Baker, and then the rookie Jaden Daniels. So, I mean, those, I don't know if it's like that every year, but that seems, there's a lot of stability there.
There are a lot of guys with long-term, big-time contracts. You cannot start them.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, the franchise are looking for stability at quarterback. If they get it, they're going to run them out.
Yeah, but a lot of those teams weren't in the playoffs last year, right? And they still, I mean, other than guys who have rookies, they're still starting some of these guys. I don't know. I mean, I just think it's kind of interesting. There seem like a lot of guys on the same teams.
Let's circle back at the end of the season based on health and lack of good performance to see how that list matches up. I'd be surprised. Yeah, yeah. I'd be surprised if two-thirds stay in that spot.
Listen, if you guys get a chance to watch any of the Giants-Vikings game, watch any of the Giants-Vikings game this weekend. The fans in New York are going to be calling for Daniel Jones to be benched after the first series.
The problem is that there's nobody to bring in for him.
There's Tommy Cutlets.
Oh God. That guy, we're going to do that again?
Sounds like a toxic atmosphere already up in New York, Rooster.
All right. What do we have for rookies that we want to look out for? We didn't get too much into the rookies yet.
Well, we have some rookies that I think are going to make immediate impacts because of their situation. You know, they're on good teams for their fit. Caleb Williams is the real deal. He's clearly already able to change the play call at the line and do things that rookies don't usually do. And he's got a ton of talent, and he's got an amazing receiving core along with Komet, a really good tight end. And they've improved the offensive line. So I'm expecting big things out of Caleb Williams. In fact, I feel like their first game is almost a must win because the fans are just so rabid about this right now in Chicago. They're not going to be able to take a couple of losses early on. They need a win. I think that your guy, Jaden Daniels, Bison, is also going to be impactful and seems to have the goods. I think he's going to have a good year for a rookie. And if he can stay healthy, he'll be a really good quarterback in the league. I told you guys this, and you guys thought I was kidding recently, but because of his situation, I think Ladd McConkey is going to have a good year.
You love Ladd McConkey.
Ladd McConkey can run routes and catch passes, gets open, and he's got one of the best quarterbacks in the league with nobody else to throw the ball to. I mean, so what's going to happen? I mean, either he's going to be double covered and he's not fast enough to deal with that, or he's going to have a great year. I also think Xavier Worthy could have a great year for a rookie.
Yes.
You know, Mahomes is looking for someone to get open downfield, and this is the guy.
Particularly if Marquise Brown stays hurt.
Yeah.
And Worthy's a speed merchant, so you get him the ball.
Speed guy.
And they cut Kadarius Toney, the nutcase. Well, that's my next category of players. My next category of players are really good, I think really good rookies whose situation is going to dictate what we think of their year. I think if you put Malik Nabers on the Chiefs, we might be talking about rookie of the year. That's how good this guy is from all accounts. And he's got Daniel Jones and a crappy offensive line. So it's hard to put him up there with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniel in terms of predicted success for this year. But I think he's got the talent. He's definitely in that talent category. I think, you know, who surprised the hell out of me was Drake May. I was down on Drake May. During the draft, I was like, don't draft Drake May. He's a bum. He played really well in the preseason. And agreed. I'm shocked that they're starting Jacoby Brissett, who played maybe the worst football of his career this preseason. He couldn't hit an open person, period. So I guess, Bison, you're right. They just don't want to get Drake May hurt because they're that impressed with him. Same with Penix. I think Penix was super impressive in the one game he got into. And from all accounts, the fans are like, God, we need to see more of this guy. But they just paid Kirk Cousins $100 million.
That was a Penix stupid draft pick again. Yeah. That was just a dumb draft pick.
But he's a great, you know, he's a good talent. He's a good talent. He's just not going to see time. He's a situational.
You're happy he's on your team. You're happy you have him on your team as a rookie, but not in the first round and not after you signed Cousins like that.
Agreed. Bo Nix has been a surprise. I thought Bo Nix was a dumb draft pick, and it turns out maybe they were onto something. Maybe he's a little better than we thought.
I'm going to double down on that being a dumb draft pick.
Yeah. Here are two guys I think that by the end of the year, if the situation like shakes out for them with injuries or et cetera, we could be saying, wow, these guys are great picks. And I already talked about one of them, Roma Dunze on the Bears. I just think he'd do well on any good team right now. The other one is Jalen Wright on Miami. Too many running backs on that team, but you got a bunch of older backs on that team who get hurt a lot, like Mostert. Jalen Wright at the combine looked like the most pro-ready running back to me of all of them.
Really proud of backfield.
He's fast as hell.
A-Chain.
Yep. A-Chain and
A-Chain Mostert. Had a bad injury last year. What, an ACL? Mostert gets hurt all the time. I'm just saying.
It's good insurance.
If injuries open the door for this guy, we might be impressed with his speed. He's a good running back. So that's what I got.
Good. So there's two names for you on defense to watch for rookies.
Yeah, I was going to say there's so many offensive players on both changing faces and rookies that maybe next week we'll cover defense. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, one of these is obvious, and the other is going to be a little bit of a more quiet one. But this guy playing in for the Rams, Jared Burtz out of Florida State, outside Monster. Linebacker, edge guy. I mean, he's going to, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what he's going to do. I think he's got the inside track on defensive rookie of the year. But the guy that don't sleep on him, this is going to be a homer pick, but he might be our best defensive player in Washington, is Mike Sanristil from Michigan. He's a back, a defensive back, 5'10", 185 pounds, but just a monster playing up in the box, out of the box, playing in the slot, whatever. You guys, you NFC East guys on here are going to get to see him twice. I think he's going to be a real, real nice defensive player. Probably not up there for player of the year, rookie of the year. But I think he's going to be a good piece, a long-time NFL defensive guy. So keep an eye on him.
They're similarly in Philly.
Yeah, didn't you get two D-backs in the
draft?
Yeah,
we got two. One's worked out really well. One to be determined. But this guy, Quinyon Mitchell, both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are saying, this kid's a rookie and he's shutting me down in preseason. Yeah. They're going to play him in a CB1 situation. And he's going to go against, you know, great, great receivers, obviously, in the NFC East. It'll be fun to watch Quinyon Mitchell line up. He could turn some heads as a rookie. Watch that guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anybody got anything else on rookies? Rookies or guys who are moving around at all?
Don't forget about Marvin Harrison Jr. We forgot to mention him.
Yeah.
Could have a monster year right out of the gate.
We got a number of Dallas guys. We're playing Dallas North in Washington this year. So
yeah, no kidding.
Some new faces there. All right, Pope, let's do a little NFC preview. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm just going to do more of a high level instead of, you know, going team by team or division by division. I mean, I think in NFC, and love to hear you guys talk about this. If you disagree, there's a top tier. There's four teams. Who are those four teams?
San Francisco 49ers.
One.
Eagles and Packers.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Two.
Packers. Detroit three. Lions.
And the Lions.
Four. Yeah. I think the Cowboys are in there. No, they don't. I got a second tier. My second tier is the Cowboys, Rams, and Bucks. I got a third tier, which is Commanders, Vikings, Seahawks, Falcons, and then the rest of them are lottery positioning between Giants, Bears, Arizona, Saints, and Panthers.
Wow, but, Bears that low.
I think the Bears are maybe as good as the Cowboys.
I will take that.
I mean, Cowboys are not going to have a great year, but they're going to be better than the Bears. Come on.
And I think the Commanders are going to surprise people this year.
No. You like the Bucs over the Falcons?
I like the Bucs over the Falcons, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I think if you read most of the predictions, it's the Bucs, Falcons, you know, with the Bucs having an edge. Baker Mayfield was a great surprise last year and certainly didn't do any different in the playoffs when they blew out the Eagles. I mean, it's hard to just say right now that the Falcons are better than the Bucs. I mean, they might be overall at the end of the year, but right now I would give the edge to the Bucs. But again, I would put them in the second tier. I mean, I think, you know, I've got the Lions beating the 49ers this year to reverse what happened in the NFC Championship game. That's who I have. I think, you know, the Eagles, what were they, 10-1 until they lost 6 of 7 last year. But, you know, Hurts is healthy. You got the legend. I think that the NFC East is going to be competitive, but I think the Eagles are going to win by at least a couple games.
Let me ask a question about the Eagles, Hal. Are you at all worried about not having Kelce at center? I mean, that's a pretty big loss for you.
Yes, I am worried about Kelce missing at center and Fletcher Cox missing at the center of the defense. Those are two massive losses. But you made the good point last year, which I blew off, about Brian Johnson as offensive coordinator replacing what's-his-face Steichen and then losing our defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon. I agree, but I think the Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio are massive upgrades, like massive upgrades. And the players seem to report it too. And they've taken the play calling out of the coach's hands. So Sirianni. So we'll see. I mean, look, Pope, you know Kellen Moore as well as anybody. I think he was pretty good in Dallas. Returns so far are pretty exciting about what he's had in preseason.
It's hard to argue that the Cowboys will have as good a year as they did last year at 12-5. I mean, Dak is probably going to be playing for a contract. He's never proven himself in the postseason. Our offensive line, is not as good. We had our center, Tyler Biadasz, is now with the Commanders.
Brandon Cooks just turned 48.
Well, let's talk about the elite running core for the 2019 Dallas.
Oh, yes. It's 24, Pope. I hate to tell you.
Is the starting running Jerry back really Rico Dowdle?
So Jerry, well, they haven't announced who RB1 is yet. I mean, Zeke thinks he is. But they just signed Dalvin Cook. It's like 2019 fantasy football draft.
He managed to get cut by the Jets when Breece Hall was hurt.
Yeah.
So ESPN has Zeke as the RB1, followed by Dowdle, followed by Cook, and then Deuce Vaughn. Hey, is there any chance that Jerry sabotaged Dak in a contract year by putting those backs in there so that he's got to throw every down? I wouldn't put it past him.
And then he did sign CD, so kind of hard to sabotage Dak if you give him his best receiver. That's important, obviously, getting CD under contract. Micah Parsons is the next one. I mean, Dallas's defense is going to be probably good, maybe not elite like last year. But look, they got exposed. They had a great defense last year, but they got exposed towards the end of the year by the Dolphins and I can't remember somebody else. And then the Packers just tore them apart. And it's hard to blame Dak for the playoff loss. I mean, they had no defense against
the Packers. They ran right all over them.
Yeah, didn't you lose one of your corners for the year?
Yeah, so Deron Bland is out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
They got Diggs coming back. So look, I think that
and you lost your coordinator.
Around here, yeah. Around here, well, we got Mike Zimmer, who a lot of people are, thinking highly of as a DC. But around here, there is not much enthusiasm for the Cowboys. In fact, Cowboy Nation would not mind seeing them, have a bad year, collapse, whatever, and rebuild with a new coach, and Dak moving on. And, the window is about to close. This year, if the Cowboys don't make the NFC Championship game, then there will be major changes.
Way better for that team to not have expectations. I think they do not do as well with expectations.
Look, regular season expectations, they perform fine. It's all about January, as we know. And this team is not able to get past the divisional round, period. And I would not expect that this year. That's why I have them second tier. I think they're a wild card team. I just don't think the NFC is strong enough to knock them out of a wild card. And I think, I think the Lions and the Packers are just going to go at it for a division championship. I give the Lions a nod, but not by a lot. I mean, Packers re-signed Jordan Love. Rooster, you alluded to it, adding Josh Jacobs, a beast at running back.
They've got Packers, three really good wide receivers.
Yes. The Packers could easily be the best team in the NFC, giving them a full year with what they have. And then the 49ers, you know, getting Ayuk was key. I think they'll probably work their deal out with Trent Williams. They tend to do that. And so, you know, you got a team that went to the Super Bowl last year that really hadn't lost anything. It's hard to say that they're going to be knocked out of the NFC Championship game. So
here's the thing you got to say about the Niners, though, is you know, we've been questioning Brock Purdy as a legit NFL starting quarterback since he got the nod in San Francisco. I mean, is this the year where he comes back to earth a little bit and doesn't lead that team to the NFC Championship game? I think it's a possibility.
Maybe.
I think he has a little bit of a slump this year. If not, I think
he plays well within his abilities and is very comfortable with that.
He drives the bus well, and with that offense, I mean, with Debo and Ayuk and
just watch
Kittle.
A Super Bowl hangover from them.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know. I'm curious, Pope, what difference that you see in the Lions relative to the Niners, that you have them over the Niners this year. I don't get it.
The Lions, we all know this. Lions should have gone to the Super Bowl. It had a 17-point lead at halftime. They blew that game.
They blew it.
Dan Campbell, you know, pig-headed, made some serious coaching chain problems in the fourth quarter when he went for two. He went on fourth down, fourth and two, and in the Niners' territory instead of taking the points. They're not going to make the same mistakes this year. Dan Campbell's going to be better this year.
Is somebody else calling the plays for the offense besides Campbell?
No. Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's back. Same coordinator as last year.
Yeah.
He's third year in a row there, I think.
But we know where the buck stops.
Here's an NFC fun matchup this year. And I don't know who mentioned it to me recently, but week eight, you have Caleb coming to Washington to play Jaden, number one versus number two pick in the draft. Apparently, I haven't looked, but this guy, I can't remember who was telling me, but said the ticket prices are already outrageous for that game, which is probably means there's going to be a lot of Bears fans at Northwest Stadium, by the way. That's the new name of the stadium.
That's a lot of hype.
But that's a fun game.
Game eight.
Hope, where do you have the Rams?
Well, it's a fun game, though.
I've got the Rams solidly in the second tier. I mean, they could easily put together a good run. Is Cooper Kupp going to be healthy? Yep. Puka Nacua is, you know, going to be an elite receiver. And Matt Stafford is, he hadn't shown any signs of slowing down yet. So I just don't think they're going to challenge the 49ers. I think the 49ers,
it's kind of amazing we'd be talking about the Rams and say the first wide receiver that comes out of our mouth is Puka Nacua. Like Cooper Kupp doesn't even matter. I mean, Cooper Kupp was like setting records the year before. You know, he got hurt, but literally record-setting year the year before Puka. So if both those guys are healthy and they get a stable running back situation, the Rams
will
really surprise.
They already have that with the, what is it, Kayvon Williams?
Kyron Williams.
Kyron Williams.
Yeah.
And Blake Bortles, the rookie from Michigan, was pretty good. Pretty good back.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned Seattle.
You think Seattle's going to be better? They're going to be a lot better this year.
Geno Smith. Yeah.
Their defense is going to be much better this year. Pete Carroll played the same defense almost every down, like a cover two. Everybody knew what plays to run against Seattle. The people are just really over the moon about Mike McDonald's new defense in Seattle. I think Seattle's going to be a much improved team.
They did lose one big player, and I'm not saying this because he came to Washington, but Bobby Wagner was the heart and soul of that defense.
He's got maybe a year left in his career.
You know who led the NFL in tackles last year?
Bobby Wagner.
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you. He's long in the tooth. He's on a one-year deal here in D.C., but he did lead the NFL in tackles last year. So that's a lot to lose, but I don't know. I think Seattle could be a pretty good team.
I do,
you got
too.
You got them as a sleeper?
I don't know if that's even a sleeper, really. But, you know, I just think – look, the South is so weak. The NFC South is so unbelievably weak that there's no wild card team coming out of there. Now, watch, there'll be two out of the South, right? As I say that, I just think you could get two wild cards out of the West. Anything
All right.
AFC? All right. AFC, no? Baby.
All right. We've got AFC House.
So I'm going to avoid the mistake that we made last year when we did our NFL preview. We went through the whole thing and we barely said a word about the Chiefs because it was a fait accompli that they were going to be back. We just pretty much ignored them. The
and
Chiefs.
They were.
Yes. But now the Chiefs have a chance to do something pretty special, never done before, which is the three-peat. And the odds are that they'll return. I think the AFC is more stacked than the NFC. I really do. But as we'll talk about it here, the AFC is all about health. It is the entire, we go team by team by team. There is somebody that's an important cog in the wheel that health is going to be the key to whether they'll have success. The AFC, by the way, has 7 of the last 10 Super Bowls. So this is the dominant conference in the last decade. And as we mentioned, the Chiefs have now added Xavier Worthy and Marquise Brown because not like Patrick Mahomes needed more speed to his offense. Not to mention that in that division, they're dealing with the Raiders, led by Gardner Minshew, the Broncos, led by Bo Nix, and the Chargers, led by Justin Herbert, passing to nobody other than Roosters.
Vlad McConkey.
So it should be pretty easy for the Chiefs. But then behind the Chiefs, we've got the returning MVP, Lamar Jackson, who will need the health of Derrick Henry. And what I think is shaping up to be a very difficult division. I think the AFC North with the Bengals, again, if Burrow is healthy, if they settle down that Ja'Marr Chase situation, if Chase Brown is healthy, they'll need a replacement for Joe Mixon. I do think that there's a chance that with legal troubles behind and very good receivers around him, Deshaun Watson could surprise a little bit this year in Cleveland. He's only a couple years removed from some real greatness. Now, they've got an injury problem in that Nick Chubb is going to miss the first at least 4 games of the season. But Ford was not a big draw.
Yeah, Jerome Ford looked good last year.
He was really good.
In that division, I'd be worried about Burrow. I'm really worried about that injury. I think that injury is a little more serious than a lot of people recognize, and I want to see how he does. I'm going to be curious.
I'd be worried about Deshaun Watson too. For some reason, he just seems to have lost it.
I just don't think we've seen much.
Yeah.
Yet, with the full complement of players, they've got a really, really strong defense. Cleveland is going to be led by their defense. If the defense keeps them in games, and Deshaun takes even a little bit of a step up from where they were last year, I think they could surprise a little bit. But the surprise that everybody's looking for is whether or not the Jets are going to jet. Are they going to be the every year, like, forgotten, they can get their tee times in September? Or does Aaron Rodgers stay healthy? Does the addition of Mike Williams on the other side of Garrett Wilson with Breece Hall in the backfield and a very, very strong defense? The Jets, a lot of people favor the Jets to win that division, even with the Josh Allen-led Buffalo, even with the Tua-led Miami. If the Jets are healthy, and if Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, by the way, the Jets, one of the benefits from last year is they are playing this year's 4th easiest schedule in the NFL. And an easy schedule helped Detroit out a lot last year, which is, by the way, one of the things I think Detroit's going to be hurt by this year. But I think the Jets could be helped a lot by that easy schedule.
Let me ask you guys this. When is the last year that Aaron Rodgers actually had a good year?
Season? Well, he was MVP 2 years ago. He was MVP, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Before he
just sucked. He just sucked in the playoffs 2 years in a row for Green Bay. His regular season was unbelievable.
I'm going to say this. I say it every year. The Jets are the Jets. The Mets are the Mets. It will never change. Never changing.
So in Houston, I think we've already covered it. The CJ Stroud, there's no
room left on the bandwagon for anybody else on the CJ Stroud bandwagon. But now you've got Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs added to the mix, as Rooster mentioned. Those should be really interesting pieces. As I said last week, in our kind of, we talked some fantasy and some other stuff, but I think one of the most underrated, if you can even say that, one of the most underrated monsters on defense in the NFL is Will Anderson. He runs that defense for Houston, and I think they are going to be really, really good. Miami, my God, I mean, nothing's changed except, are they going to be healthy? Tua, Waddle, Reek, A-Chain, Mostert, now the rookie, Odell, like, come on. They can score 60 points again. They're going to need a defense, and they're going to need health. People are sleeping a little bit on Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy, he does know how to play quarterback. I think there are a lot of doubters there. I think Peterson knows how to coach. I think that division is a little bit up for grabs. Yes, Houston's going to lead there, but I think there's room possibly for a wild card coming out of there. I think Jackson and Indy are really going to go at it hard. The Buffalo situation is really, really interesting. Josh Allen, who is the king of fumbleitis, turned the ball over more than any quarterback in the NFL last year, and he's lost his Gabe Davis. He's lost his Stephon Diggs. Everybody is having a lot of fun on all the social media stuff of Keon Coleman, the wide receiver from Florida State, but the guy can play football, and he has a real good chance. If Josh Allen is playing well, I think Keon Coleman has a really good chance of being an offensive rookie of the year for the AFC. I think for Indy, again, health is the question mark. Will Anthony Richardson and will Jonathan Taylor be healthy? If they are, again, they're going to really push Houston in that division. We got some coaching changes that are going to make the AFC interesting. Antonio Pierce is with the Raiders. Sean Payton is with Denver. I don't think there's time yet enough for these guys to make changes. I think Denver and the Raiders are going to struggle, but I think these guys will have more time on the
clock. Isn't this Payton's second
year? It's Payton's second year, but I think this is, it's Payton's second year. It's his first year with Bo Nix. Payton's obviously got time on the clock, and so does Pierce. Let's see what they can do with their teams. I think all eyes are on the big change from college to the pros for Jim Harbaugh. He's back in the NFL. He was one of the successful college coaches the last time when he made his stint in the NFL. So we'll see. The Steelers, they added Patrick Queen in the defense. They've got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields going to see what happens there. Najee Harris, I think, could make a return there. Jaylen Warren is a really nice backup. And you've now got Arthur Smith in the right situation for him, which is doing running an offense, not being a coach. So there's a lot, you know, Pope talks about three tiers. There's a lot of potential to get in that second tier behind the Chiefs. I still think we're looking at a AFC championship, Chiefs Ravens. I'd love to see it. I think the Chiefs are going to make their way back
Thursday night's game.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Thursday night's game, Chiefs Ravens.
Good schedule making. AFC
championship preview.
The Chiefs haven't done too well in the first game of the year lately.
So do you guys know which team travels the most miles this year?
I think I heard this.
Is it Jacksonville again to London?
Yeah, I mean, how about the London guys?
How about
actually, go ahead, Detroit. Give it a guess.
Is it Detroit?
Nope. It's actually the Chargers, who traveled 26,803 miles and go through 36 time zones. 36 time zones.
Jesus.
They play in Cambodia?
Certainly the West Coast team seemed to get a little bit
screwed. I didn't even know there are that many time zones.
The Dolphins, the Seahawks, the Patriots, and the Niners are your top five. And then the bottom five are the Falcons, the Steelers, the Colts, the Bengals, and the Commanders, who actually travel the fewest miles, 10,550 miles.
Who the hell wants to see the Patriots outside of this country? Well, I mean, outside of New England. Those guys are so bad, someone may defect on those trips.
By the way, get ready
for a punch. Speaking of travel, get ready for a punch this Friday. I have a feeling that we're going to see that the experiment in Brazil wasn't that great for the NFL. The players are already dreading it. They're basically told, don't leave the hotel room. It's not a safe place to go.
There's no internet. There's no internet.
There's no internet. They're not bring the families down with them. This might be one and done for Brazil, but we'll see. We've got the arm cocked back for the punch, but we're not going to throw it away after the game.
All right. That's it on the AFC. So, all right, we got two more NFL segments to get through here. This is a new one for the year. We're going to try and bring you one SMQB parlay every year, but we want to start off because this is your last chance. Well, not your last chance, but this is your best chance to get in on some futures bet. So everybody's got one futures bet that they want to offer up. House, what do you got?
I looked into these bets. There's some really good ones. There are a lot of money making opportunities for all you degenerates out there. But I had it down to three. I'm not going to do a rooster and pick all three. I'm just going to pick one. And I'm going to grease up Bison. I've got on the year, Terry McLaurin at plus 500 for 1,250 yards or over.
I like it.
I think that's easy for him. I think that's easy money. Put a grand down on McLaurin for plus 500 over 1,250 yards. That's my futures bet.
All right. Good one. Rooster?
I didn't get the memo on this. Give me a minute.
All right.
You'll be back with a few choices.
What I'm seeing is the over-under for the Lions on wins is 10.5. Is that what you guys have?
I think so. I can tell you in a second. I think
that's right.
So I'm going to take the over on that.
All right.
They're going to get more than 10 and a half wins. And I don't know what that means as far as the plus and all that, you know, but that's my bet.
Okay.
All right. So I like this one. The last remaining undefeated team, the Lions at plus 700. I kind of like that one. You can also
did you go through their
schedule? Somebody might have listened to Bill Simmons this afternoon.
Oh no, I did not.
Yeah, he was all over that.
I've just been messing around on FanDuel all day. So I got the Lions. You can also get the Eagles at plus 1,000, the Texans at plus 1,300. But I like the Lions at plus 700 to be the last undefeated team. Rooster, you ready?
All right. I'm going to take Anthony Richardson at minus 425 to record 25 rushing yards against the Colts. That's a given.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Not making a lot of money, but that's a
good. Yeah. All right. There you go. Okay. So now we go on. That's a futures bet. That's a special week one edition. We'll get back next year. We're gonna come up with a parlay, an SMQB's parlay for you. It's just gonna be one for all five of us. We're gonna come up with it. But that's your futures bet for this season. All right, now let's get into the Plaxico Locks. Welcome back. Reminder, whoever we guarantee is winning, you should go immediately bet the house against our pick because we are not very good at this collectively.
Do we need to remind our listeners who won last year?
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't have the final standings, but as bad as we have been historically as bettors, Pope bucked the trend last year. He actually came through, so maybe you take your Pope bets to the bank, at least in week one. I do have a phone in from our absentee who is enjoying, he works so hard, he's celebrating Labor Day. So Milk, I just got to lay this one out here for you, Bison. Milk is starting off the season going Bucks minus 3.5 over Washington.
All right, Milk. I hear you.
So that's where he is. And I, while you guys are double checking what you're going to go with, I am starting out I think it's going to be fun betting against the Panthers this year. I just don't believe in Bryce Young nor the rest of that team. And I think the Saints are going to be hyped to at least start game one in that Superdome. And Carr will have a good game one against a lowly Panthers team. The Saints minus -4 is my play in week one over the Panthers.
What an awful matchup. Nobody's going to watch that game.
No, but I'm still going to make money on it. Who's up next? Who's ready?
Hope. I got the Rams at the Lions on Sunday night. Lions given 3.5. I think that's way too low. I think the Lions will cover that. No problem.
Okay. Hope is on the Lions.
I'm bullish on the Lions.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots are the first or second worst team in the NFL this year. And I'm going to go with a big line here. I'm going to go Bengals 8.5, -8.5 over the Patriots.
Okay.
That's Cincy? Right. Where is it? That's Cincy?
Yeah,
that's at Cincy.
Yep.
Good bet.
All right. Here's one. I don't know. I feel like a sucker taking this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've got the Dallas Cowboys getting 2.5 in Cleveland this weekend, and I like the Cowboys to win that game. Mm-mm-mm. Interesting. All right. Somebody took an underdog. Okay.
So those are your locks.
Week one. All right. Week one, we're coming for you. We'll see how badly we can screw this all up. In the meantime, we're not really going to cover any college football, but we do have one call in. I need to share my screen here. Let's do this. Let's make sure I can share the sound. All right. And let's see, guys. Hopefully this goes.
Hey, guys.
Was he at some glacial lake?
Morning or afternoon, whatever it is. I don't really know anymore. Sorry I couldn't join today. Some Labor Day responsibilities. But I wanted to get with you all because I know you're covering college football. And talk a little bit about the Gators and what we saw.
This is a broken man. A broken man you're about to hear from.
I'm going to say it was one of the more pathetic performances I've ever seen come out of Gainesville since the probably mid-1980s. I saw a team that was unprepared. I saw a team that was destroyed on the line of scrimmage. I saw wide receivers who have no fucking clue how to play college football.
Wow.
Sure. Can't get open to save their lives. I saw
angry, bitter man.
Quarterback who almost got murdered.
It's only week one.
The Miami Hurricane defensive
It was
line.
Bad, though.
And I saw a future that's hopeless.
Hopeless.
And I'm fucking tired of it.
Yes.
I said at the end of last year, get rid of this piece of shit coach because stupid is stupid, guys. And you can't cure stupid.
Get him.
He doesn't know what he is doing. He doesn't understand the game.
He looks on his
poor
face.
Decisions. His players are outplayed. You're the University of fucking Florida. You
get
can't
him.
Fucking outplay a Miami team that was had 5 wins?
Get him.
2 years ago?
Get him,
what are we doing? Where are we here? Why is this guy still the coach of this school?
Oh, we still got a minute left of this.
Oh, I know, because University of Florida doesn't have a president right now. They're about to not have a president and an athletic director.
Well, it's because your last president robbed you blind.
Yeah, they stole all your money.
And see, can't pay your
NIL contracts.
I want him gone.
Can't pay your
defense. This fucking guy, there is no hope for this season. It's over. They
I agree.
Will not. I can't see 3 wins. I literally can't.
Hey, Milk, talk about your last 5 opponents.
70% of the teams that we play this year won their games by 80 points, I think, this weekend. The season's over. Florida has backtracked in year 3 of Billy Napier. He's a fucking idiot. Fire his ass. I want him gone. He won't make it through the year. Get a real coach in here. Stop trying to find these diamonds in a rough who come from these small schools. He's a fucking idiot. I want Strickland, our AD. I want him gone, too. He's got to go. Clean house. Start over. Florida season.
He's a dead man.
And you know what? I don't know. I'm speechless. I hope you
didn't
guys
see
have the show.
I don't
I'm
know.
Doing... It doesn't seem speechless.
You don't seem speechless.
Fuck.
Wow.
That was a beaten man.
Wow, that it was a beaten.
That's a beaten. He is a sad beaten man. All right, that's all in college.
Could be karma for all the FSU bashing he did last week.
Mm-hmm. Who's got a punchable face? No one. No punches.
Well, I think Milk just covered it pretty well.
Yeah.
I guess Milk got it. Milk just got it for us.
I think the FCC is going to punch Milk, but other than that.
Yeah. All right. Anybody got a lasso? I've got one.
Yeah.
Barbecue sauce.
All right. Go ahead. So I got one. It's kind of a minor one, but it's got a different story that goes with it. You know, Darren Baker is the son of legendary MLB figure Dusty Baker. And Darren Baker came up with the Nats this week with Dusty in the stands. And the first major league pitch he saw, he singled up the middle. It was one of those ground balls with eyes that got through, but he did get the hit. But the part of the story that's interesting is what's in my my background here. If you look at this, some of you might remember the 2002 World Series where Dusty Baker was managing the Giants, and little Darren Baker was a bat boy at age 5 at the time, and he ran out at really the worst possible moment in the game when there was a long fly ball off the right field wall that scored a couple guys, and as J.T. Snow is rounding third base and about to score, he notices this little 5-year-old sort of just hanging out at home plate waiting to pick up bats and helmets and stuff. And Snow scoops him up out of harm. I mean, there were guys flying around in the ball. There was potentially going to be a play at the plate. And Snow just reaches back and grabs him by the jacket and lifts him up. And the image of Snow carrying him back towards the dugout was kind of one of the memorable moments. But it's just kind of a fun little story. I'll give it a lasso for this little kid who was so memorable during that World Series and the son of the great Dusty Baker to come up in the majors and get a hit. So that's my lasso. Good one.
Good one.
Anyone else have a lasso?
I've got
Let's
one.
Let's get to some buzzer beater.
Yeah, no, I've got a lasso. Rooster's I've got a lasso.
Okay,
so, Rooster. Remember back before Coach Prime came to Colorado, they had a 1-11 season. And, of course, when he showed up, he treated the guys on that 1-11 team like dog shit and basically told them to go ahead and get into the transfer portal right away.
Kicked him to the curb.
One guy who declined to transfer and accepted the challenge to work his ass off and get better was a walk-on named Charlie Overdahl. He has now gone from being a walk-on on a 1-11 team to being the starting running back for CU this year and has a full scholarship as a result. Wow. So it's a really nice story.
Wow. That is a good story.
Number 44 on Colorado Boulder Bison.
Cool.
The Buffs.
Nice. Like it. Good one. All right. Let's wrap it up, guys. Who's got a buzzer beater? Pope, what do you got for us?
So I got a buzzer beater. We got the FedEx tour ended yesterday, the FedEx Championship in Eastlake, Atlanta. Scotty Scheffler, I don't know if you guys saw it, had one of the all-time shanks out of the bunker on number 8, was somehow able to recover. I mean, I don't know how the hell he recovered because it's so in your head at that point. But with 3 straight birdies after that shank to close the door, looking back very quickly on his year, $62.228 million earned with $29 million on the PGA Tour earnings, another $8 million leading the player bonus pool, plus a $25 million FedEx, lowest scoring average, 68 in PGA Tour history. He is now, after, you know, not that many years, third all-time earnings on the PGA list behind Tiger at $121 million, Rory at $91 million. He is now, and this doesn't include a FedEx bonus, $71.5 million. So
plus a prison stay and a baby.
Yeah, yeah, prison
and
stay and
think,
a baby.
And I think I think he had 7 wins this year, and the last time someone had 7 wins was Tiger in 2012 or something.
Yep.
Yeah, you go back pretty far. So.
Yep, amazing. My other buzzer, I want to talk about it maybe more next time, is that, you know, the Paralympics is going on in Paris right now. I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of the competition, but the badminton table tennis and breakdancing has been especially interesting. Some of the guys who were breaking would just blow Ray Gun away.
That's not saying much, but
yeah, exactly. China is dominating, 87 medals to Great Britain's 53 and US 42. Competition continues through September 8th. So if you love the Olympics, at least take a look at the Paralympics because these guys are amazing.
Great. Good one. I'm glad you mentioned that. Rooster, you have a buzzer beater?
I do. The best college football game of the season so far, the short young season, had the best catch we may see all season. It was USC versus LSU.
Yeah.
What a game. You know, actually kind of a defensive struggle, really, if you can believe it.
We have to talk about that game.
Yeah.
cost me a little bit.
Brian Kelly took it really well, too.
Yeah.
Thanks for nothing, Milt.
We thought both teams would struggle losing quarterbacks to the NFL, but Miller Moss from USC had threw for 378 yards, and LSU's quarterback Nussmeier threw for 304 yards. It was a great game, really. It was a fun game to watch. USC won it in overtime, and there's a receiver on USC, Kyron Hudson, who only had five receptions, but they went for 85 yards, and one of them was an OBJ catch. Just went up with one hand, double covered, brought it down, kept the drive alive. It would be hard to beat that as the best catch of the year for the rest of the season. It was so good.
Nice. We'll tweet that out. All right, House, what do you got as a buzzer beater?
I'm going to add that in college football, there's a lot of good matchups coming up in the coming weeks. One of the first good matchups is my own Tulane Green Wave, who are likely to be one of the contenders for a playoff spot in the G5, playing against an up-and-coming P5 team, Kansas State. Both of them handled their week one competition with ease, but I think John Sumrall is a special coach, and this is going to be the ESPN game, the G5 P5 game. This Saturday at noon. Let's see if Tulane is for real or if they still kind of belong a league below. That should be fun. And I don't know if you want to cover in the buzzer the tragedy of this week, or we want to pour that out when you're done your buzzer beater, Bison.
We'll pour it out. So I'll just give you a quick buzzer, keep you abreast of what's happening in F1, because after another weekend, it's still getting more and more interesting. You've got a race in Monza where Charles Leclerc comes in first for the Ferrari team. One of the great moments. What a year he's had, winning in his home race in Monaco and then winning for Ferrari in Monza.
What a great strategy, the one tire strategy. Unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable job there. Piastri second, Norris third. Interestingly, we have Verstappen come in sixth. And then what we've got to look to now are the standings. Lando is only 63 points behind Max, but in the constructors, there is only 31 points separate. I'm sorry, it's less than that. It's 8 points separating Red Bull and McLaren, and then Ferrari is 31 points behind Ferrari. McLaren is in this, and if I had to pick a favorite to win the constructors right now, it would be McLaren. Wild season, 2 weeks off now, but keep watching. It's gotten interesting.
That sort of begs the question then, was McLaren wrong to allow Piastri to pass Norris on the first lap?
A lot of discussion about that.
Because, you know, the alternative to that is they spread out one and two, put some distance between the rest of the pack, and don't let anyone pass them until they get many seconds ahead.
They also had opportunity down the stretch because it was clear Oscar Piastri was not catching Leclerc. They had an opportunity. They could have let Lando take second place too, because of the championship race that's on. So we're going to, they call
Piastri has screwed him now twice on the season.
Papaya rules.
Papaya rules, team rules. So,
Pope, didn't you say last week that it's improbable that Norris could catch Verstappen?
No, I
it is improbable. But as long as Max continues to get a you know, P3, 4, 5. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, but P6 and not looking good. That car doesn't look good right now. So right. There's a lot of
but the constructors is another story, and they didn't run that race like they were worried about the constructors' points too much.
Yeah.
I mean, Lando kind of lost control, on one of those turns on after he got passed and lost some time.
Well, we'll keep reporting back on F1. All right, we got to pour one out here. Who's gonna do this? This is really a tragic
really
story.
One of the most tragic stories that we've had in sports for a while. When you think about how many lives were devastated by this tragic accident, it took the lives of Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Gaudreau, two brothers who played NHL hockey. Johnny was a lot better known. He was a star for Calgary for many years, known as Johnny Hockey, and his younger brother Matthew Gaudreau. They were in New Jersey, where their family lived, where they grew up, where they played youth hockey. Their younger sister was getting married this weekend over Labor Day, and the night before the wedding, the two went for a bike ride, and some of the details are unclear about, you know, the circumstances of them still riding their bikes at 8:30 at night. Maybe they were, returning back. Those details are unclear. What is clear is that in the blink of an eye, a really terrible decision of, I think his name is Sean Higgins, age 43, who had a whole bunch of beer, was trying to pass somebody on a road in Salem Township, New Jersey. Didn't think that he could pass that driver, got frustrated and hit these guys. And it took away these two hockey players who had one of them, Matthew Gaudreau, his wife has an unborn child. Johnny Gaudreau is married with two young children. The parents lost their two sons. The sister lost their two brothers. The wedding was canceled. But if you hear about the communities in Columbus where Gaudreau played, and Philly where they played youth hockey, and Calgary where they played or where Johnny played professional hockey, in all these places, these were beloved people of great
in
character.
Boston, they played at
Boston,
BC
where they
together.
Played BC, where they played in BC. Yeah. It's really devastated the sports world. And so pouring one out for the entire Gaudreau family in a tragic, senseless loss.
Don't drink and drive, guys.
Brutal, brutal. All right, guys. Well, unfortunately, ending on that note, we got our first game of the season Thursday night. And then Friday night, so much didn't the NFL say they'd never play on Friday night or something like that? So I guess they gave up on that. I don't know if this is going to be permanent, but there's only one way we leave the NFL special show as we go out here. So I'll get at you soon. Let the points soar. Fight on.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay, and he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.